This is a Careers with STEM podcast brought to you by Refraction Media.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the latest episode of the Buzz About STEM podcast, where we interview people about study and careers with a focus on science, technology, engineering, and maths. If you have a teenager in your life and you want to help them prepare for the careers of the future, then this podcast is for you. Before we kick off today's conversation, I wanted to remind you to head to careerswithstem.com to check out all the content we have there, including quizzes, STEM role models, videos, and more. You can also sign up to receive our Parents Portal e-newsletter to your inbox every month so you don't miss a thing. And if you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe to it on your favourite podcast platform, share it with a friend, and rate and review it. Okay, now to today's episode. This month, I spoke to Dania Saeed, an incredibly inspiring young woman. Dania is originally from Pakistan and now lives in Western Sydney and was last year named Young Woman of the Year at the 2021 Western Sydney Women Awards. She's only recently finished high school, but already has an impressive tech CV, including representing Australia all over the world in robotics competitions. Most recently at the FIRST robotics competition in Switzerland. That's FIRST, F-I-R-S-T, which stands for Inspiration and Recognition of Science and Technology. And it's kind of the Robotics Olympics. Dania was the captain of the Australian team, so dedicated to robotics that she even kicked off her Year 12 exams while competing in Switzerland, taking her English paper at the Australian Consulate in Geneva. I loved chatting to Dania about her love of robotics, where that came from, about the role her parents and mentors have played in helping her follow her passions, and about her plans and goals for the future, which I'm sure after you listen to our conversation, you'll agree with me, is looking pretty bright. Not every teen is going to be winning robotics competitions in Switzerland, but every teen can find something that inspires or excites them, and every parent can play a role in helping them find and nurture that passion, even if it means removing a bit of pressure from other areas of their lives to make space for that passion. So enough rambling from me. Here's the latest episode of the Buzz About STEM podcast in conversation with Dania Saeed. Thank you so much, Dania, for coming on and chatting today.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations on finishing your exams. You're all done now?
Yep, I'm good. I'm all done, thankfully.
How do you feel?
A lot of people put it as like a high pressure situation, but I felt like now I'm done with it. I'm like, oh, I'm done with the HSC. So now I'm just looking forward to whatever's for me in the future.
It's a really exciting time, and I'm sorry you feel like people put a lot of pressure on these exams, because I really feel like that's not the right approach.
Yeah, I know. I definitely agree. That's why I was like, you can do what you want to do in terms of what you're passionate about and do these HSC exams at the same time.
You've created some amazing tech already, a bionic hand, a heart rate monitor, and I was reading about a robot which tracks the vitals of plants and displays how they're going with emotions. If it hasn't had enough water, you get an angry emoji or something.
Yes, that's correct. I have actually made something even bigger than that this year.
So this is your major work, is that right?
Yes, my major work, correct.
Tell us about that. What's your major work?
My project was a personal healthcare assistant called Medibot, which essentially took care of the vitals of individuals such as the elderly, physically impaired, and the sick. And it would track their vital conditions such as heart rate, body temperature, dispense medicines to them, alongside having communication just in general, like combining that health aspect and also the social aspect.
And how did it go? Were you happy with the result?
Yes, definitely. It turned out, obviously, it was a scaled-down version of what I proposed. That's what design technology is. However, an amazing news is that I was actually nominated for the SHAPE 2022 exhibition, which is generally held each year in the Powerhouse Museum. That's top 10 major works from across NSW. So it's under deliberation right now, but it's an amazing honour.
Congratulations. I'm not surprised by the sounds of everything you've achieved. I think you've got such an amazing future ahead of you. When did you first get into tech and robotics?
This may sound really childish, but I've always been interested in shows which had robots in it, such as Astro Boy, iRobot, MythBusters, etc., growing up. But it wasn't until 2013 when Big Hero 6 was released, a Disney movie. It wasn't until I watched that movie that I realized that I want to build robots like Baymax. That was the part that really got me into the movie and got me into robotics, was the concept where there's a robot that doesn't really harm individuals, rather helps them and takes care of them, and it's like social. So basically in primary school, I started dabbling into HTML, very basics of coding and just understanding what that was. But it wasn't until year seven when I joined my school's robotics team. And I've been part of that team ever since. And I've competed in multiple different levels of like regionals, national, states, and internationals. And so that's basically where my interest in STEM and technology came from.
Amazing. And you'd be surprised how many people I speak to who talk about movies as being an inspiration for them. So it's a big responsibility for Disney there. I understand that both of your parents are engineers. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Can you tell me a bit about them, what they do for work and the role that they've played?
Yep. So both my parents are in the engineering field. So mum's a software engineer. Although she's on a break right now, she did work at Silicon Valley. And my dad currently is a technical architect and he currently works at ServiceNow. Both of my parents are very much software based. I would see my dad working on his office work and I'd be like, oh, what is this? And my parents, both of them, have been so supportive through the whole process. Whether that means driving out to a different state because of competitions, staying back late at school when I'm working on the robot, or just in general, like I said, the past 5 years I've been working on these projects. A lot of the times you couldn't find parts in a specific store or buy them online. So you had to really travel far away. And so my parents have just really provided me support in that sense, that not only obviously financial and providing the resources, but also being there for me when things don't work out, and when things do work out, they've always been there for me.
Oh, they sound like an amazing support. And yeah, and the results are in the successes that you've had. Have there ever been any challenges or sticking points between you and your parents? Maybe they're into software and you're just rebelling by getting into robotics, mechatronics, or anything like that? Anything that you've had to overcome?
Like I said, my parents have been completely supportive. So you said that engineering, my parents are software engineering, so they might be like, or why not software? Maybe there was a time like that, but my parents were very just much keen on, as long as I'm within the technology field, they weren't really concerned in terms of what technology or which engineering I go into, because that is the future. Also, other than engineering, they let me explore my other options too by going into sports and arts and et cetera. But I think at the end, I ended up landing in engineering either way. And so my parents have just been completely supportive in that sense. And even when I said I want to do mechatronics, there wasn't any of that, oh, you should do software, it's a lot more safer. My parents were just completely supportive throughout the whole process. So that's what I'm really thankful for.
And when you talked about that you spent time exploring other areas and you ended up landing on engineering and technology anyway, what were some of the other areas that you explored? Are there other favorite subjects at school that you've been into?
So you could say throughout primary school, I would say I wanted to become like an athlete, more specifically cricket. So my parents, I did cricket for a long time, where I just did cricket practice and all of that and matches. And so I was quite dead set on becoming a cricket star when I was younger. I'm really passionate about visual arts too. I've done visual arts throughout high school, even in year 12 for my major work. I actually combined my love for robots and visual arts together for my visual arts major work, where I made robotic sculptures. And that is actually been chosen for Art Express to be exhibited in museums in New South Wales.
Wow. I love how multi-talented you sound, but that creative side and fostering that creative side is so important. And I think will really give you an edge in your future career. Mm. Can you tell me a bit more about your art major work?
Oh, yes, sure. I made multiple sculptures from this art movement called junk art, where basically you reuse previous materials, and I've used scrap metal pieces and et cetera to make these weird spider robotic looking machines, which were depicting, the whole artwork was depicting like war. So it was called Life After Shrapnel, where there were different robotic systems. And basically what would happen where after a war, all these machines came to life. And so it was like a combination of Tim Burton's works and Leonardo da Vinci's old like mechanical concepts. I wanted to find a way to fit my love for robotics and making like physical items within visual arts too. And so that's what I did.
That sounds awesome. And I think your approach of just following your passions and fitting your passions into whatever you're doing, it's obviously worked in your favor. Other than your parents, have there been any really important role models or mentors through your journey so far?
Yep. So I can say, other than my parents, I think the person who supported me the most throughout this process was my technology teacher. She was also my coach, Miss Layla Quaden. And so essentially, all these projects that I didn't mention, the heart rate monitor and the EcoAssist and all of that, they were all done for my school's technology project for the subject. So my teacher just provided me with a lot of support wherever I needed it. And she was just always there for me within the school area, but also outside. So I guess she's someone I would consider as my mentor.
Do you feel like that was really important, having that? That really made a difference in what you've achieved?
Yep, definitely, because it's great to knowing that someone's got your back, whether that's outside of the school or inside the school, whether it's for what you're passionate about, like robotics, but also outside of robotics. So she always gave me like great advice on what I should do. And that goes for my parents too.
Awesome. So you recently went to Switzerland, was that right, to compete in the first Global Robotics Challenge? And it sounds like you've got a bit of experience traveling internationally for these competitions. Was that a big one in Switzerland?
Yes, definitely. So basically, like I said, I've been doing robotics for the past 6 years, and I had the opportunity to represent Australia multiple times before. So we were able to go to Estonia in 2018, where I was part of the all-girls rookie team, and we went there representing Australia amongst two other teams. And yet again in Japan 2020, where we were supposed to represent Australia in Japan. However, this year it was quite different because there was only one team representing Australia. And rather than us having our team names, we were considered as the national team. So we're called Team Australia. Wow. And so I had the amazing opportunity to be captain of that team. And it was honestly the highlight of my robotics career, I could say, was that it was the peak. Because first global challenges, basically each country sends out a team and amongst 180 different nations, and you compete in basically a robotics Olympics. It's a massive scale robotics competition where you have commentators, you have 6-7 robots at the same time competing. You've got judges, you have universities such as MIT, Yale over there scouting. And so it was such an amazing big deal. And it was amazing representing the country alongside my teammates.
That sounds so exciting. It sounds really cool. You were actually also studying for your HSC while you were over there. And you did one of your exams over there, is that right?
So I did one of my subjects, so English paper one and paper two. There were two exams over 2 days. And so essentially, because of the nature of the competition, I had to be overseas for quite a while of time. And that, like I said, I was captain of Team Australia. And because it was this achievement, being able to represent Australia at such a high scale was of such high importance, it actually overlapped with my HSC timetable. And those are the first two exams of the whole HSC season. So I was actually overseas while most kids were studying for these exams, and I was there competing. And so I had the amazing opportunity to actually sit two of my HSC exams in the Australian consulate in Geneva. I would sit my exam in the morning, and half an hour later, I would just run to my competition venue to compete and get involved in the matches.
How did you feel about it?
There was a lot of nervousness because I am the first person in my family doing the HSC. I don't really know anyone else within my family who did the HSC. So I'm the oldest child. And so there was that bit of a nervousness. Or how does the HSC operate? Or how hard is it going to be? And it's also, like I said, it's like your whole year, 2 years worth of work that you're supposed to do within those 2-3 hours. However, during those two exams, first of all, the consulate was amazing. They were quite hospitable. I didn't really feel that stress coming up. However, I felt like because I was able to do two things that I loved, I didn't feel scared. I didn't feel like I said, oh, I regretted anything. So that's what I feel I'm quite happy about, is that I was able to do both things that I really loved.
I almost wonder, it feels like maybe having done some of your exams over there almost takes some of the pressure off in a way, because you think it's this reminder in real time that there's a whole world out there of opportunities and things to do. And the exams, one thing, doing your English paper is important, but there are robotics Olympics going on as well, which is completely separate.
Actually what I learned throughout this whole process was that it's not just narrowed down to school. Like, life will throw you multiple things at the same time to you, but it's up to you how to juggle it. And I decided to juggle all those different things at the same time, because I was like you said, it's not just school. It's not just those exams that are happening in the world right now. There's so many different activities happening. And that's what in the future I would have to face yet again. So it was just an amazing opportunity being able to do two things at the same time.
Having just come through your exams, do you have any tips for parents in particular on how they can support their teen through that period, which, as you said, can be a bit stressful?
I think the biggest thing is it's okay to take breaks. You may have done a lot of studying, but you won't be able to absorb that studying if you just continue studying nonstop. It's good to take some breaks. Don't take a whole 2-3 weeks of break. Just maybe 1 or 2 days within rest, because especially during the HSC period, that 1 month is quite taxing, because sometimes, and a lot of my friends had their exams all spread out. However, I had 10 days between my first exam and my second exam, and then my second exam and the rest of my exams. So there's 20 days basically where I didn't really have anything going on. And then the rest, like towards the end, was with my exams. So I think the biggest thing is you can do what you want to do in terms of what you're passionate about. So for example, if your hobby is maybe robotics like me, or what do you like doing, athletics, or if a specific sport you want to play, those things are all manageable at the same time if you timetable it properly. And it's okay to say sometimes take breaks and rest and maybe read a book or just calm down.
Such good advice. And I guess for parents, tip is also to let that happen, allow space for that to happen, not worry too much if your kid is playing cricket, because they need that too. Yeah. Do you still play cricket? I meant to ask that before.
So I decided that I wanted to do robotics, and I really got invested in that. Because of that, I didn't get to play cricket full time. However, I do play here and there. So I hope now that I'm done with school, I can do more things at the same time.
Maybe there's a cricket robot invention on your horizon. Who knows? Robotics plus cricket. We've talked a bit about all the extracurricular activities that you've done through school. And I think I mentioned that I feel like they're really going to give you an edge on your career path. But is that the sense that you get? Do you feel that they've been valuable?
Yes, definitely. Because I can already see it currently, because I'm applying to universities and stuff. And a lot of universities appreciate the fact that you did great in academics in school. That's great. But if you don't have anything else backing you up in terms of extracurricular, they would like to see students balancing both academics and extracurricular. And I feel like in general, extracurricular allows you to grow more, because there's so much that you can do within school, but outside of school is where you can actually venture off, find what you're passionate about. And it's great. For me, the amazing thing was that I was able to embed that robotics thing within my curriculum, where in terms of design and technology, I just basically converted that to robotics if I could.
Let's talk about mechatronics, because you said that, so you're applying for mechatronics degrees, is that right?
Yes, hopefully I am planning on doing a mechatronics with a double degree with computer science, because there are two things that I'm really passionate about.
And where's your dream? What's your top preference? Where do you hope to end up?
I'm quite honestly still considering two universities and bouncing between them, because they're both amazing universities, both great. I'm just confused in terms of which one is the best for me.
Yes.
But all universities out there are amazing. They all offer the mechatronics program, but I'm currently bouncing between two.
We've actually got a whole section on our website all about changing preferences, how to help students through that part of the journey. So you should check it out. For you. Are you hoping to stay in Australia to study?
That is also another thing that I'm considering right now, is the other two universities I'm considering, but I'm considering my options outside of Australia. During my voice competition in Switzerland, I was offered a push towards IT.
Wow.
So I'm just considering different options right now, maybe in the States, but right now the two universities, and then maybe outside of Australia.
Huge, a whole another element to consider there if you're taking on that sort of big step of going overseas. So I feel like my advice would be to also don't be afraid to change your mind. It can feel like if you've signed up to one degree or one university and done a year, and you think, well, I've invested this 1 year now, so I've got to see it through. But I think I've spoken to so many STEM professionals a little bit further along in their career who've switched and changed and followed their passion and had amazing pathways. So that's my tip.
Thank you so much.
No worries. And so will you go to university straight away, or are you taking a year?
Oh, no, I'm planning to go to university straight away.
Awesome. Awesome. Obviously, you mentioned that you'd been exposed to software engineering through your parents, and technology is a big part of your household. But some parents listening to this will be thinking, I'm not an engineer. I don't work in STEM. How can I help my child? Do you have any thoughts or advice on what parents who don't themselves have a STEM background could do to help their child? But maybe more relevant to you is how a young person can help themselves through their potential tech career if they're not necessarily coming from a home of engineers.
So I can say is that you don't need your parents to necessarily be engineers for you to get into engineering. I know many friends who have decided to go into software engineering and their family has no ties, or they didn't even know what software engineering was before this whole year 12 process. So it's not that, because my parents are software engineers, I got into engineering. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of parents who aren't software engineers, or family members who aren't software engineers, and their children have gotten into technology and all of that. But for young people in general, is I do mentoring and coaching for robotics teams. And so that's where we see a lot of kids where they don't have any previous background in technology or in STEM. However, they're able to grow through that process of doing robotics and competing, etc. But I guess I can recommend is going to coding classes, but there's also free resources online, such as YouTube videos and websites and etc., which basically just teach you basics of coding. But that's more coding side, because that's what I'm familiar with personally. However, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of, if someone else is interested in any other engineering degree or STEM-based subject, there are resources out there.
That's great that you've been doing mentoring. Was that for younger students at your high school?
Yes, my school's robotics team. I had the amazing opportunity right after my HSC start coaching them.
Will you continue that connection with the robotics teams, even though you finished school now?
Yes, definitely. We have this thing in FIRST is the organization of robotics, is that once in FIRST, you can't really get out of FIRST, because I've just become obsessed with robotics. And I am trying to give back to the community that helped me find my passion by volunteering at various competitions. So I did robot design judging at previous regional competitions, and I'm hoping that I will volunteer at the nationals that's coming up.
Once in FIRST, always in FIRST. Yeah. I like that. Oh, well, look, thank you so much, Naira. It's been so lovely chatting to you, and I'm really excited to see what you do next. I think you're going to be on the cover of one of our technology editions in a few years' time. I can see it.
Thank you so much for giving me this amazing opportunity.
And that's a wrap for the latest episode of The Buzz About STEM. It's so exciting and inspiring to hear about Danaya's achievements in robotics already. You can tell how much she's gained from being able to find and stick with her passions, even where it's clashed with her exams, for example. Kudos to Danaya and her parents and the mentors in her life for keeping sight of that bigger picture in Danaya's study and career path. Extracurricular activities like the FIRST robotics competition are a great way to take STEM studies to the next level and can open up amazing opportunities, like what Danaya's already experienced. We have lists of resources and opportunities like these over on careerswithstem.com. You can also sign up to our e-newsletter to receive information and resources straight to your inbox every month. Thanks again for listening. As always, please subscribe on your favourite platform, share the podcast with your friends, and rate and review it online.